Two things I want to mention to you. Some have asked me, if you look in the bulletin, there's information that says online giving, and some have asked me about that. It's accessible through the church app, and it's accessible through the website. There will be more information in the bulletin this next week, so that you know what that is. But there is information in the beacon about how you can put the church app on your phone. If you have any problems with that, call Daniel at your earliest convenience. No, you. I know Daniel or Jonathan would be willing to help you. I'm willing to help you if you want to know how to get that app on your phone and you're having problems with that. Through that app, you can look at the calendar. You can look at the beacon. You can submit a prayer request. You can look at the Bible. There's a link to the church Facebook page. There's all kinds of information there that's easily accessible on your smartphone if you have a smartphone. I'm using mine 2 or 3 days a week now, and Sunday school class, some are using that for their Bible as we are studying Scripture in the young adult Sunday school class. So just want to let you know about that. The other thing I want to mention to you is Wednesday starts the practice of Lent. Please do not think about Lent as something one particular denomination does. Sometimes people think that, and I'm not going to name any of the particular denominations that we think about sometimes that practice Lent. Lent is something that Christians have practiced for centuries, And it's a time of 40 days, not counting the Sundays, that we reflect on the passion of Christ before Easter. Okay, it is traditional that a lot of times people will give up something during Lent. I've also tried to add another practice, which I think is good. Add something to your Christian walk that needs to be added. Not just giving up something, but add something that needs to be added to your Christian walk. Traditionally, for many years now, during Lent, I have always had the practice of looking at one person in the Easter story and trying to understand the story of Easter from their perspective. So I'll read scriptures about them, I'll look at what they experienced as they walked with Christ, and then typically I bring that as a monologue on Easter Sunday morning. So Easter Sunday morning this year, the Apostle Peter will be here to share with you about what he experienced on the very first Easter and what he learned about Jesus Christ. So think about that. I hope that you can be here on Wednesday night as we have a Ash Wednesday service with the ashes that are from the palm branches from last year that we used during Palm Sunday and Lamb by Choice. Okay? People brought those back in, and I have begun the preparation of those, and I'll have them here on Wednesday night to place upon your forehead as I say, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And we'll be looking at that not only just as a service but a teaching time. So I hope you can be here on Wednesday night for that, to understand that. Today we're going to look at Psalm 147. It begins with the Hebrew word hallelujah. Everybody knows that word, don't you? Do you know that it translates to praise the Lord? Is what hallelujah translates to. So maybe you didn't know that was a Hebrew word that you knew, but hallelujah is a full sentence, not just a word. It's a full sentence. It is one word in Hebrew, but it's a full sentence. So listen to this, because this psalm begins and ends with that, but I'm only going to read down through verse 11. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with great praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain, and he makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of a horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their trust in his unfailing love. Fear is a reaction that all of us have at times in our lives. Fear is supposed to kind of keep us straight. Do you realize that? It's a good emotion. It's a good emotion. I'm not going to tell you which one of my children, but I have a child that has a fear of spiders. Cutting the grass one time, this child came in and said, "Can't finish cutting the grass." And I said, "Why not?" "There's a spider this big on the lawnmower," which I kind of doubted. Fear is something that all of us know, don't we? I recognized fear one time in my life when I went with a bunch of young adults about 25 years ago, so I was a little bit younger myself. And we went to what was called a ropes course. And a ropes course, for those of you that don't know, is an obstacle course for a team. It is not an individual obstacle course, it's for a team. And towards the end of the day, one of the last things we did was climbed to a platform in a tree that was 40 foot above the ground. Number of different ways to get there, some a little bit more difficult than others. And then you tied in and jumped off on a zip line. I was looking forward to that all day. And I got all tied in, and I got all ready to go, and I stood at the edge of the platform, and I looked down at the ground, and I knew how well I was tied in. I knew the equipment was good, but I had a great fear of jumping. What if this comes untied? What if something comes unhooked? That's a long way to fall, and I'll probably get hurt. And my kids will look at me and say, "Dad, you're not 20 anymore." It finally came down to this for me. I said, "Lord, if I can't trust this equipment that I have on, and these hooks, and all of this gear, that I can see, that I can touch, that I have been wearing most of the day, if I can't trust it, then I'm going to have a hard time trusting you, who I can't see and I can't always touch." And I jumped. Was I still scared? Only for a couple of seconds. After that, the excitement took over. And what a charge and excitement that was. And I know some of you are going to tell me, "Pastor, I'll never do that." That's okay. I'm not calling you to do that. Okay? That's okay. I've never jumped out of a perfectly good airplane, and I don't intend on doing that either. Okay? But this was an experience that taught me something about my fear. And you see, this scripture is not the only one. There's many, and you've heard people in churches talk all the time about you got to fear the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Well, in this case, to me, the best way I've come to understand it is it has nothing to do with being scared. Did you hear me? It has nothing to do with being scared of God. Nothing. That's not what this fear of the Lord is. I think it kind of needs to be looked at a different way, and that's why I've entitled this Respect for the Lord. And I want to look at what is respect, because I believe that's what the scriptures are trying to show us. That's what they're trying to teach us. Now, maybe the Hebrews used the word fear because their understanding was, if I end up in God's presence, I will die because I am not worthy enough to be in God's presence. So they feared God, and they feared being in God's presence. But I think what it really is a deep and incredible respect for God. You see, in verse 1 and verse 7, we're told it's right to worship God with praise. And I hope that not only in this psalm, but in the other psalms that you know about, it is right to worship God with praise. That doesn't mean quietly. That doesn't mean meekly. In this one, it says, praise God with the harp, with the string instrument. I happened to be thinking about as I was reading that this time. I know there are a number of churches that won't allow guitars in the church. Because a guitar in the church, that's just not right. That stringed instrument. That stringed instrument. You do realize there's strings in here, right? It's no different than the guitar. It's just got more strings. I'm guessing it's got 88 strings because it's got 88 keys. Way more. Okay. So I got something to learn about pianos still. Way more than that. I mean, folks, praising God is lifting your voice to God. As we sang that first song today, that praise and worship song, I heard a lot more people than are here. Something was going on. I heard more people than were here. Something was going on about praise there. Something was going on that God added an increase to what was happening. Because as I looked around, I watched everybody singing it, and it's like, wow, in Christ alone. It looked like everybody was singing very softly, but there was so much more that was going on. That's praise. That's worshiping of God. That's lifting the roof off of a building to praise God. And we need to walk around in our lives that way. Why should we praise God? The psalmist declares a great number of qualities of God that deserve praise. A great number. And I just want to mention some of them. They're in verses 2 through 6. And then 8 and 9. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles. He brings in those that are far away and brings them back. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds the wounds. God determines the number of the stars and calls each of them by name. That just baffles my mind. I wonder what God calls the new star that's out there. That got launched this past week that's reflecting bright as all. You guys know what I'm talking about? There's now a car in space. And I know a lot of people have said, you know what, that's ridiculous. That was exciting to me. Growing up in the 1960s, after President Kennedy said, we will put a man on the moon. And seeing what happened through the 1960s, there's great possibilities that things like that could happen again. And I'm excited about that. But do you realize before we even thought about that, God had already gave a name to every one of the stars? I challenge you tonight in the great light pollution we have here to even try to count the number of stars that you can see the next time we don't have clouds, which might be about a week and a half from now. By the way, praise God for duck weather today, not penguin weather. Right? Praise God for duck weather, not penguin weather. We need this duck weather, don't we, Eric? We need it big time. God has done so, so much. And there's so many things that we can praise God for. So many things. Not just what's listed here. And then it says that God does not trust in human or animal strength. God doesn't trust in that. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, verse 10 says, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. Wow, isn't that exciting? God doesn't trust in the strength of animals, and God doesn't trust in the strength of our legs. As I'm getting into a running routine and trying to do better about running with my exercise, I'm impressed by what I've been able to do, but I read this verse and it says, God's not. No matter how well developed I get in my exercise, no matter how well I can run, that's not something that impresses God. God doesn't trust in my strength. Sometimes that I'm not sure I'm going to make it. Some wise person gave me a nice thing to remember as I'm running. Some wonderful person told me, don't forget, you'll pass out before you die. So when I'm running on the treadmill and sometimes in the next couple of minutes, I think this is it. And then I'm like, I haven't passed out yet. So this can't be it. See, God doesn't trust in those things. What does it say? Verse 11, listen to this verse. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. You see, God's delight comes from our proper fear of God and living in God's unfailing love. Unfailing love. I hope you saw what I put on Facebook. I think it was yesterday morning for the church Facebook page. It was a note from God that said, I hope that you will finally learn someday how much I love you. And my comment was, I hope today's that day for you. I hope you'll finally get a hold of that. God's unfailing, everlasting, overpowering love is incredible. I can remember going on the walk to Emmaus. If you've never been on the walk to Emmaus, I would encourage you to find out about that. It's a program that's run by the United Methodist Church, but it's ecumenical in nature. And there's also another program that's run by the Catholic and Episcopal Church that's the same kind of program. 42 hours. And during those 42 hours, I learned how much God loved me. And I came home and my kids said, what happened to Dad? Because I learned how much God loved me. In those 42 hours, it was overwhelming. It was incredible. It was from a Thursday night to a Sunday afternoon. It just blew me away. And then I've helped, I don't know how many times, on leadership teams to make that weekend possible for other folks. And every time I was there on the leadership team, once again, I was met by the incredible power of God's love for me. And it just, every time, just bowled me over. Every time. Are you putting your hope in that kind of love? You see, for me, when it talks about the fear of the Lord, this fear can better be understood as respect for God and willingness to do God's will. A respect for God and the willingness to live God's will. That's what this fear means to me. It's not being scared of God. I'm not scared of God. I will approach God. I will talk to God about how my heart feels and about my concerns. I will talk to God about how I feel about what's happening in your life and in the life of this congregation, the life of this community that we live in. I will approach God and talk to God about that however I feel that day. It might be with great excitement. It might be with sadness. It might be, Lord, I don't know what's next. And sometimes it might be with a little bit of anger. And I will approach God that way, and I will talk to God. I'm not fearful of approaching God and spending time with God. I greatly respect God. For me, that's what this fear is about. I greatly respect. I respect that God is big enough that even when I come with the wrong feelings, God knows how to help me. You hear me? God is big enough that even when I come with the wrong feelings to talk to God about things, God knows how to help me. And that's what happens. But when I hold it inside, all it does is eat at me. I've learned that the hard way. All it does is eat at me. And I get it out and I talk to God about it. With great respect, because I know that God can change me. I know that God can work on me. I know that God can work on the situation. You see, this fear of the Lord for me is a deep respect for God and a willingness to do God's will. It's both things. It's not just one. It's not just that feeling. Respect for God is a feeling and ongoing actions. Both aspects, not just one. Both aspects, not just one. Think about that for a minute. Having a deep respect for God and a feeling is a wonderful thing. But I've also got to have the willingness to do what God is asking me to do. It's both things. That's respect for God. I mean, when your parents spoke to you when you were young and talked to you about having respect for them, it didn't mean just having a feeling, did it? It meant when they asked you to do something, you did it, didn't it? That you didn't ask questions. Well, I did, and you saw how I turned out. You didn't ask questions. It was about respect and about respecting them and their insight and their wisdom and following what they asked you to do by carrying it out. If I respected my mother and she asked me to cut the grass, that means I actually went out and cut the grass, right? Not that I just had this great feeling about, oh, I respect you. I want you to understand the same thing about the fear of God is both things. It's a respect for who God is, what God's asking us to do, and it's a willingness to do it. As I've explained this to many people through the years, when God comes to me and says, Tim, this is what I want you to do, I always feel like there's no way I can say no. There's no way I can say no. Not if I respect God. Because God wouldn't ask me to do something I couldn't do by His power. By God's power, not mine. And God wants the very best for my life. So why would I not follow God if God wants the very best for my life? Why would I say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that? That doesn't make sense. To me, it doesn't. If I respect God and God says, I want you to share your story about how you came to know Jesus Christ with other people, the only answer I've got is yes, Lord. That's respect. Accepting God's wisdom, accepting what God's saying, and carrying it out. That's the fear of the Lord for me. It's both things. So I ask you today, is your respect for God both a feeling and an ongoing action? Is your respect for God both a feeling and an ongoing action to live as God asks you to live? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because first off, we know that we should be about the hallelujahs at all times, about praising you, about lifting your name, about calling out and saying, great has the Lord done for us. And Lord, the beginning of that is to have respect for you. And that respect contains not only a feeling, but also an ongoing action to live as you call us to be. So Lord, help us. Help us to be the people you want us to be, so that this community that we live in might also have respect for you and live the life you're calling them to live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.